everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. A bumper edition this week, as later in the show, we're going to be previewing this weekend's big matches in the fourth qualifying round of this season's FA Cup. But to kick the show off, we're going to be talking about league matters, and down the other end of the phone, it's a welcome back to the show to Mr. James Hayes, everyone. Woo! James. I'm all right. How are you, more importantly?
It's getting stressful, but we're dealing with it. So that's the best way I can say it, really.
That's right. Breaking news, everybody. All the club media officers will know this, but after the midweek games, you've got till midnight on Wednesday to get your clips to James, your TV clips. Otherwise, you'll come down and you're like a ton of bricks. And this week, I was doing the editing for FC United, and, front of the queue, James, I think you'll find. One of the first ones out of the blocks. Was it the first one?
I think you were, actually, thinking about it. Yeah, you were.
Champion. Speaking of excellent, we've got some excellent guests coming on the show this week as well. Shortly, we're going to be talking to Cal McCauley at Witton Albion. We've got Paul Phillips joining us too from Matlock, Brad Cook at Atherton, and we're going to be talking the FA Cup later with a full fixture preview with the legend that is Cheshire Non-League reporter Andrew Simpson. And we're going to be joined by the managers at FC United, Neil Reynolds and Lee Picton at South Shields will also be joining us. And we're going to be dipping into some post-match reaction from midweek, as we'll be hearing from Steve Chettle at Basford and Darren Kelly at Scarborough. Right, let's talk about the matches then from this past week. Warrington Town, still top of the pile, 3 points clear up at the top. Victorious on Saturday, 2-1 over Radcliffe. And a 2-2 draw in that Cheshire derby with Nantwich on Tuesday night. Not a bad week.
Yeah, very good showing against Nantwich at the same time. Anyway, took the lead twice. Nantwich having to snatch it back at the very end.
One of the teams who are up at the top is Matlock Town, currently sitting second in the league table. 3 points behind Warrington, and they have a game in hand. And Matlock Town on Saturday were victorious against South Shields away from home, 1-0 up at Mariners Park. And then they followed that up on Tuesday night with a 1-0 win at the South Stephen Stadium against Grantham Town. Phenomenal couple of results there. And for more on this, on Thursday afternoon, I caught up with the manager at Matlock Town. It's a welcome back to the show to Paul Phillips. Paul, a big thank you for joining us, and congratulations on another victory midweek. It's certainly shaping up to be all right at the start of the season. I mean, what's your take on it all?
It's been okay. I think obviously we it could be better. Obviously, Bamber Bridge we didn't perform that day. We had certain individuals out, but I won't complain. Last season under a different team under Buxton, it was hard time at the season, to the start of the season. So when you get off to a half decent start, it's better than not getting off to a half decent start. So yeah, listen, with a new team, we know we've got things to work on. But what they've shown over the last couple of weeks is plenty of fight, plenty of appetite to work hard, and we've got all the ingredients to a little bit more of a star quality in, and we won't be far off.
When we talk about the results that you've had, a 1-0 against Grantham, a fantastic win against South Shields, also 1-0, but then, you know, flashy scorelines like the Ashton United result as well. So winning ugly, but winning well as well in other games, so that's good, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing we've got going for us at the moment is we're keeping clean sheets, we're looking like a solid unit. We're winning sometimes when not playing well. I didn't think we'd play particularly well on Tuesday night against Grantham, but we found a way to win, which we've done a couple of times this year, and that's a sign of a good team. And it takes me back to my old Ashton days when we assembled a lot of winners and a lot of people that wanted to play for the shirt. I think that's what you've got to try and build at this level.
Let's talk about recruitment, because last time we spoke, you weren't quite there yet, were you, with finalising your squad? And I have to talk about Joe Bunny as well, because he's come in and he seems to have made an impact as well. So how's the squad shaping up?
Good. Obviously, we had one or two suspended Tuesday night because of a certain individual the week before in the FA Cup. I won't say any more on that, but no, it's good. It's good, obviously. We've just got to keep people fit. Obviously, we've had one or two injuries. We've got Callum Chippendale, Nathan Whitehead coming back now. Obviously, Craig King coming back in. He's made a couple of appearances. So it's strong. Obviously, it's a squad that we're not over the top. We've probably got 18 in the squad, so we don't want to overdo it. But it's a tight-knit thing, and hopefully we can keep it like that if we don't come across too many injuries or suspensions.
So big games coming up for yourselves this week with Scarborough and Nantwich, both home games, of course, as well. Before we get to those games, where are you tracking now against your own expectations? Because, you know, these games here, I mean, with Matlock where they are in the league, they're playoff games all of a sudden. So where are you up to?
Well, for me, we always say we ought to go as high as possible when we start a season. Obviously, we're at the start of a journey. That we finished third bottom, and we've not, as a football club, we've not achieved, I think, a top 10 finish for the last 5 or 6 years. So we're at the start of a journey. But again, I said to people last week before we played Geisley, Ashton, and South Shields, it's going to be a tough week. What's the kind of teams we want to pit ourselves against to see where we are as a team? I'd say the same again, Scarborough. A good established team. Nantwich has always been in and around the playoffs. Good team there. Cookies got together. So, for me, I want to test myself against them teams who are going to come out, attack us, have a right go. And both teams looking to take 3 points. And hopefully, if we can play like we did, certainly last Saturday, then we won't be far off.
Yeah, because these games are huge games now. I mean, what do you think of Scarborough this weekend in particular? And, you know, Darren Kelly there, he had a win midweek, didn't he? So what's your take on this particular match coming up?
Darren obviously did a good job at Hyde, got them up to this league. Obviously, he's a massive club, Scarborough. Got a lot of good players there. Obviously, he's only been there a short time, but we had him watched last week. We had him watched Tuesday night against Whitby. And obviously, we've got Nathan Cartman scoring goals, got a good solid base. Coulson back to fitness, so it'll be a tough test. It'll be a tough test, but one we'll relish. Hopefully, I think it's more or less a sellout as it is at the moment, so that's good for the club. And then Nantwich will be a different, obviously, kettle of fish, because they play good free-flowing football in the right way, right manner. And it'll be a test, because there's a team that's been there and done it and proved the worth, and there's been a group that's been together probably for 2-3 years and been at the right side of the table and probably unlucky not to get out of the league. So they'll both be big tests, but like I said at the start of the conversation, then that's the kind of test we want as a football team and a football club, to see where we are and to see how far we can go.
And the following Saturday, the FA Trophy looms large with our old friends Colville. How important, because I know you came close with Geisley as well, didn't you, in the FA Cup. How important are these FA competitions as well, given the financial constraints we're all facing at football clubs? How important is the FA Trophy?
Massive. Like I say, we had a half-decent run. Unfortunately, with some certain manners that we couldn't get through the Geisley game. But obviously the FA Trophy now is for a few quid. We want a decent run in it. But I think that's 5 away trips on the bounce in FA competition. So someone's obviously got his in for us. But no, Colville, top of the league, undefeated. Steve-O up there, used to be at Grantham, know him well. So it'll be a big physical test. It's a bit of a slope on the pitch as well. So that'll obviously throw into the mix. But it'll be a test. Again, we went up to Tamworth, who were league leaders last year in that league. So and beating pre-season. So we'll have a go. We'll go up there. We'll be the underdogs, which I like. We're the underdogs at South Shields. We like to go up there and upset the odds, and that's what we're about as a team, as people, individuals in the team, and as a group. Collectively, we know we can go anywhere and give a good account of ourselves, and hopefully come through Saturday, Tuesday first, and then hopefully take on Colville and get through to the next round in the FA Trophy.
Paul Phillips, manager of Matlock Town. I know it is early days, but it's a very encouraging start.
That result there at the South Shields showing that we can't be underestimated anymore. Some of the results they've had, they look like the team that could really propose a threat this year. South Shields didn't look comfortable, and then so they're headed for the win. So Matlock Town.
I tell you what, though, James, that was impressive. But Tuesday night was equally impressive because, as Paul said there, they had players suspended from that match against Geisley, and they still managed to go to Lincolnshire and get a 1-0 win. So, right, let's talk about Baseford United. They've moved themselves up to third position, also 3 points behind Warrington Town. Baseford were victorious on Saturday against Bamber Bridge by 2-1. And then midweek, a 1-0 win over Stafford Rangers at home. And for more on this, let's have some post-match reaction. Here's Mark Williams from Baseford TV talking to the manager at Baseford United. Here's Steve Chettle.
Really pleased with the win. Really pleased with the clean sheet. Delighted with Jordan Pierpont's, obviously, debut tonight for the first team. Made a great save to keep us to 1-0. And overall, really glad for the 3 points. But it wasn't a classic game. But listen, we're here to win football matches, which is the main point of it all.
Yeah, we weathered the storm early on with Stafford posing problems, especially down the flanks. We went into the break 0-0 before Steph's late goals. You mentioned off camera it was a scruffy win. Yeah. How important are those 3 points in games like that?
Massively. Any win's massive. You know? And we haven't played well tonight, to be fair. Our skippers, we've had to rest Matty tonight. He's been struggling with a bit of a problem. So Matty's come out and Dunny's gone in and played a full 90 minutes. Chess is back in the team. So we've had to shuffle the pack a little bit. In the end, we put Brad on as well just to secure that, you know, that final 10 minutes. And it worked for us. You know, I think Stafford will be disappointed. I think if you look at the game overall, they've had more opportunities on goal than us. Or probably more shots on target. But in the end, a set play and Steph scored with another header, which is fantastic.
Another clean sheet tonight. How important that they're starting to tighten up at the back after early season jitters?
Yeah, it's brilliant. Like I say, we didn't start the season well. We conceded too many goals, especially from set plays. We were under the cosh a little bit, like you say, first half. Defender set plays well. Steph throws his head on things. Lewis throws his head on things. So does Dom and Willow. So it's a unit and collective that we've all had to do. And the midfield players have to pick up the second ball as well. But I'm ecstatic about a clean sheet. I love them.
We look forward now to the weekend against Stalybridge. Is that a good game to go into following tonight's performance, or would you consider it the same approach as we did tonight against Stafford?
No, it's the same. We've had 5 away games. We now had 2 games on the trot at home. We've picked up maximum points, so that's 3 wins on the or 3 wins out of 3. We go to Stalybridge, you know, with the group. A couple of players have had a rest tonight. We'll train Thursday and we get ready for the trip up to the northwest again.
Steve Chettle there, manager of Basford United, talking to Basford TV and Matt Williams. Steve has said this on this show as well in the past. He loves a good 1-0, James. He loves a good 1-0. And certainly a good 1-0 against Stafford on Tuesday.
If you look at the league table situation at the moment, a lot of teams are conceding a lot more goals this season or scoring a lot more. So not necessarily a 1-0 result is a good way to go at this moment in time, looking at some of the results and the league table itself. As long as Basford are picking up 3 points, I don't think Steve Chettle will be minding.
Let's talk about Witton Albion then. Witton Albion currently sitting in fourth and with a game in hand over Basford, 1 point behind them. And that game in hand would have happened on Tuesday, but obviously Hyde United are self-isolating at the minute and sending our best wishes to everyone at Hyde United. Witton Albion, though, they did play on Saturday and they were victorious on Saturday, beating Gainsborough Trinity by 3-1. At Northolme. So a great result that for Kyle McCauley's side. And for more on this, on Thursday afternoon, I caught up with the manager at Witton Albion. It's a welcome back to the show to Kyle McCauley. Well, Kyle, a big thank you for joining us and congratulations on that 3-1 win over Gainsborough. It's been a great start to the season, wins against Scarborough and Basford as well. How have you found it?
It's kind of a mixture, really, because we didn't hit the start of the season the way we liked to, in terms of losing our first 2 games, and we needed to improve. We needed to tweak a few areas that we were weak on. And then obviously we just wanted to get the first win under our belt to get confidence back in the group. We managed to do that, and we've now managed to go on a decent run of games where we've got results from.
Yes, absolutely. And when it comes to the start of the season, we have to go back to pre-season and recruitment because last year you had burst, didn't you, where you were knocking on the door for the playoffs but then just dropping away slightly. But some of the acquisitions you've made, like McNulty, for example, it seems to have added to the squad and pushed it on a bit.
Yeah, it has. In my opinion, we've strengthened. I think the squad is better than last season. Pre-season is about getting used to how we wanted to approach this season in terms of people getting fitter and getting games under the belt. Like I said, it wasn't the best of pre-seasons in terms of getting results, and I know many managers out there don't worry about results, but with me, it was about trying to get results, trying to get that confidence, which lends us into the start of the season, which we didn't get off on the right foot. But going back to the squad, McNulty was a huge signer for us, really, really was, on what he's done in the game and what he offers to our young lads in around him. He's now on the coaching staff with us, which is a massive plus to our lads, and he's improved some of our players in this short space of time. And like I said, the squad's stronger, and at this present moment, we are goal strong.
And when it comes to scoring goals, we do have to mention Scott Bacore as well. And you mentioned the start to the season. I get the impression that hat-trick he scored against Radcliffe, it was pretty important to where you are now.
Absolutely. Scott was a player that we've watched for a number of years. I did try to get in before he went to Stalybridge. So he's one that we've always looked at. I know what he brings you. He can bring you goals, he can bring you assist, and he's the type of player that we needed, we felt that we needed. Obviously, we've still got Rob Opley at the club and Will Jones, who are both completely different players to Scott. And that was why it was really, really important that we brought Scott into the club to give us something different. He managed to get a hat-trick, which we were delighted for him to get. And then in our last game against Gainsborough, he goes and gets us an assist, which Tom Owens gets a reward for getting us back into a position where we took the lead. So that's the type of player Scott brings, and he'll be a nightmare for any defence. And I'm sure them teams will play with Alvin will be aware of Scott.
Just a couple of questions I need to throw in as well, because on the show this week we're going to be talking about crowd restrictions and that kind of thing on the likes of FC and South Shields. But Witt and Albion fall into another bracket with regards to the social club side, and I know the club's still operating the Just Giving page and that side of things. So, I mean, what you're doing on the pitch, it's giving the club a bit of a lift at the moment, I'm going to suggest, and the fans more generally.
Yeah, on the pitch we're doing good. The supporters who are going the game are right behind the group of lads that are getting them results or trying to get them results. And off the pitch, obviously, we've had a tough time with obviously the ban and the social distancing and the things that go with it. So it's been really, really tough to generate that money that, helps the club push on, really.
With regards to pushing on, I mean, like we touched upon in this interview, the start of the season's been really good, but, you're going to say each game as it comes and all that, and I'm going to say it is early days as well. But there should be a lot of optimism here, because it's been really, really impressive what's been done at Witten in the opening gambit of the season. So where next do you think Witten can go?
Yeah, like I said, I think it's, in my opinion, it's the strongest squad I've had at Witten, Albion Football Club, in the 5 years that I've spent there. For me, you just echoed it really in terms of each game comes, and that's all we look forward to is the next game. And for me as a manager, and for me for our players, every game that we approach to try and get 3 points, and that's what we'll continue to do. We'll continue to put in the hard work and try and grind out results and try and get the 3 points as best as we can. But we also know that it'll be tough to get them 3 points, so every game that comes our way, we can only try our best to do that.
So let's talk about this weekend's match with Atherton Colls, and this is actually one of the games of the weekend, actually, because it's fourth against seventh. Atherton Colls have had a really good start. I mean, what's your take on this particular match?
Yeah, first of all, Bradley, a brilliant job at Atherton. They're a strong outfit. They're well disciplined. We've had them watch twice. Once I went myself, and then secondly, our scouters being to watch them. And within them 2 games, they've changed twice different formations, but adapted in the same ways in terms of being well organised and well drilled. And it's a team I feel. I really do. But on top of our form, I'm sure it'll be an open game, and both sides wanting to win a game of football and both sides going at each other. So I look forward to it, but I'll give them the utmost respect because they are a good outfit, Ben.
Cal McCauley there, manager of Witten Albion, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Witten there up to fourth. I'm not going to get you to talk about Witten, James, because Andrew Simpson's going to be coming on later, and let's be honest, he's going to talk about Witten, isn't he? He's bound to. but let's talk about Buxton. Buxton in fifth position. Buxton didn't play on Saturday, but they did feature on the schedule on Tuesday night. And a 2-2 draw with Mickle Overs. All the goals coming in the first half. For Buxton, all the goals came from the penalty spot. Diego Di Girolamo scoring two penalties on Tuesday night. What do you make of that one, considering how good Micklover have been recently?
I think that's a fair result for both sides there, realistically. Micklover has got 4 games unbeaten now. Bevan seems to be looking like he wants to have an early go at the Player of the Year awards. It's a moment in time the way he's been going.
Let's talk about Scarborough. Scarborough just outside the playoffs. Same number of points as Buxton, but Scarborough have played a game more. A 1-1 draw, a credible 1-1 draw with Nantwich on Saturday afternoon. And then on Tuesday night, it was a victory in the North Yorkshire Derby. Scarborough Athletic 2, Whitby Town 1. Let's have some post-match reaction now from Scarborough Athletic. Here's Darren Kelly speaking with Scarborough Athletic's YouTube channel shortly after the final whistle.
Whippy is a good side, especially the first 10 minutes. I'm not going to lie, I was worried. We conceded one. If the ball had been outside, it was almost you're glad in a way it's a penalty, because if it had been outside, Harry would have been sent off. So it worked in a way, and then, to be honest, about a minute or two after that, could have been 2-0. So again, I was worried. But I thought then we started to get into the game more, and I thought then we started to take control of the game. We started to manage it. We started to manage our areas better. I thought defensively then we started to become more solid. We started getting back to the things we're good at. Midfield as well, I think we started to really take control. I thought, led by Bish in there and obviously Watto and Glennie, then we started to become more ourselves. Great energy in wide areas. Lewis Turner was excellent as well. Ashley Jackson and Kulo. I think Kulo coming back into the 11, again, give everybody a big boost. So, that, you know, it was fantastic to see. Again, him and Cartman linked up well. But I think then, as I say, after an initial probably first 15 minutes, I thought we started to take control with a couple of good chances. Then second half, coming in with a good chat, you know, changed a few things about, just in terms of movement and areas to go into and exploit. Thought we did that very well second half. I think second half we really started to control the game. But again, like everything, you know, it's, you know, they were good defensively. They put on Johnny Byrne to go and sit in there as well, because I think the threat of, you know, Watson and Glynn especially was becoming more evident. So they wanted to try to stop that at source. But again, a great ball, and we changed formation. We tweaked it a bit. Obviously, Coulson just coming back, and he started to cramp up. Luckily, it was nothing to do with the injury. And then a great cross in from Ashley Jackson for Kerpman's goal. And as I say, I was absolutely delighted. To be fair to the guys, Bully, and then at Whitby, you know, I think, you know, you can see they're decent, they're well organised, difficult to break down. And as I say, some key players. So, you know, to go from 1-0 down after 10-15 minutes, we were sort of shaky and out of sorts, to then come back and win the game. Absolutely delighted.
Darren Kelly there, Scarborough Athletic manager, speaking with Scarborough Athletic's YouTube channel following that 2-1 victory over Whitby Town on Tuesday night. A big thank you to the media teams at Basford and Scarborough for those clips from midweek, and the link to both YouTube channels is available in the description to this podcast. So give those two channels a like, and the other channels as well across the MPL. So let's move on, James, and talk about Atherton Colls, because Atherton Colls are on 10 points, 1 point behind Buxton and Scarborough Athletic. They've got a game in hand over Scarborough as well. Atherton Colls, a 1-1 draw with Stalybridge Celtic on Saturday, following that up on Tuesday night with a thumping 5-0 victory. Got Brad Cook joining us in a second. But they're doing all right, Atherton, aren't they?
Yeah, better start than last season as well. But yeah, great result there. Seems to have turned the corner a little bit since the win against Ashton United 2 weeks ago. The 5-0 result shows the intention Atherton have got, especially with some of the players they brought in during the off-season.
Let's hear more about the mood in the camp at Atherton Colls now. And on Thursday, I caught up with the manager at Atherton Colls. It's a welcome back to the show to Brad Cook. Well, Brad, a big thank you for joining us, and congratulations on a stormy victory midweek. I mean, how was the night?
It was a great night. You know, previous games before that, we've been playing really well performance-wise, and we've been creating so many chances. And after the game, we've been going in and we've been kind of saying, you know, someone's going to be on the end of a really big defeat here. And thankful of that was Tuesday night. It came together, and for 25 minutes of the first half, we was absolutely electric. It's probably one of the best bits of football I've seen, certainly at high level for a long time.
And when it comes to, you know, the form that you've got at the moment, it's going pretty well, isn't it? So what's it all down to?
Yeah, I think the mad thing is, from a performance point of view, it's been really, really good. I'm so pleased with our work rate, with our fitness levels, with the lads that we've brought in recruitment-wise. But we're probably a couple of points, probably 2 or 3 points short of what we actually deserve, if I'm being absolutely honest. And that's not me being arrogant. It's just fact, we've missed a couple of penalties from open play, and we've gone on the wrong end of the result after we've done that. So I think we're probably 2-3 points short of what we deserve. But yeah, from, you know, it's been a massive group effort from We've really built a strong scouting network. So we've got a couple of people now that are doing that for us. Steve Settle, who used to be West Didsbury and Charlton manager, he's doing it for us. And, little finer details like that are different class. And we've got, an analyst on board or two analysts on board that are dissecting games. So we're just trying to get them little 5, 10% margins. What we can't compete from a budget perspective, but if we can get them things right off the pitch, which we seem to be doing, the results are coming, and thankfully that's where we're at this moment in time.
And you mentioned recruitment there. I look at the squad from Tuesday night, and there's players in there like Elliot Rocker, Lafferty, Gaz Pete. You've got the likes of Jack Lennon on the bench, who's a really good midfielder. So the squad's there, isn't it? Clearly.
We're lucky. We've done really well in terms of bringing the players in and buying into what we're all about, because everybody knows we've not got a great budget at all. We're probably the lowest in, or we will be the lowest in the league in terms of budgets, but we create a good atmosphere. And I say it to the lads all the time, they laugh at me, but we've got the runts of the litter sometimes, because we've got players that are all coming in that are kind of there to prove a point, and they're all at Everton calls for a reason. And it's not because we're throwing big bucks at them. It's so then they can prove a point. So like your Elliot Rockers, for example, he wasn't playing at Radcliffe. He's an incredible footballer. He wasn't playing at Radcliffe, and we've basically given him that opportunity to show people how good he is. And it's the same with your Jack Lenehan. He's a cracking player. You'll know that from his FC days. He's a cracking little player, but he wanted to play football. So, yeah, we've got some really good lads. And when you bring in players like Jack Bannister off the bench as well, you've got a strong, solid squad. But not only that, we've got a really, really good team spirit at the minute, which is everything that we want at Everton Calls.
Let's talk about this weekend then. And we had Cal McCauley on earlier. And probably game of the weekend, in the league. Witton Albion against Atherton Colls. And that says a lot about the start that you've had and the start Witton Albion have had. What's your take on this game?
Yeah, I've got loads of respect for Cal. I think he's a fantastic manager. And the thing is with him, he changes it up. So you can do all the reports on Witton Albion you want. He'll go from a 4, he'll go to a 5, he'll go to a 3. He changes it up. So we're not quite sure of, how they're going to set up. But they're going to be a good side. They're going to be big. They're going to be strong. They're going to be physical. He's got the nous of the league. So he knows what he's looking for. And I think he's had us watch. I think he's come watching us a couple of times because they've had games off. So I'm expecting it to be a really, really competitive game. And we'll go and we'll give it a good go.
Brad Cook there, manager at Atherton Colls, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Two draws for Nantwich Town this week, but against Scarborough and Warrington, so not a bad week, all things considered. Gainsborough Trinity in 10th, we discussed the defeat to Witton Albion earlier from Saturday, but Gainsborough bounced back on Tuesday night, a 3-2 victory over Stalybridge Celtic. And I've heard Curtis Woodhouse's post-match talk, and Gainsborough, they've got players there who, if it was Championship manager, they'd be showing not at 100%, so That's a good result, that, on Tuesday night.
So considering the Witton Albion game, great response there as well. But from watching the highlights from that game, got to give you a little bit of credit to Taylor Bridge for that one to be making it a close encounter.
Let's talk about South Shields. Like we said, they were beaten on Saturday by 1-0. A 0-0 draw midweek against Morpeth Town. But by all accounts, South Shields were banging on the door for a bit more in that game. We are hearing from Lee Pitson later talking about the FA Cup. But South Shields there, what do you think?
Repeat what I said a couple of weeks ago. This is the first time they've had a real rough patch in the entire time they've been in the NPL. When they were in the first division chasing the title, the last two seasons, they've not gone through the set of results they have recently. And it's going to be interesting to see how they come through with that one now. The Morpeth Town game, I think it's worth mentioning those 14 yellow cards.
I was just looking at football web pages and I was like, is that right? Has there been a technical glitch there? That's nearly every player we were booking. must have been a hell of a game.
Yeah, I was going to say that. More for the fact that none of them got sent off as well, really.
So, South Shields in 11th, FC United in 12th. As I said earlier, we've got Neil Reynolds joining us too to talk about the FA Cup later. On Saturday, a 2-1 victory over Stafford Rangers. That, incidentally, is FC United's first league win of the season. And then midweek, they drew 1-1 with Lancaster City.
I think it's, again, it's an unbeaten record, the same as Nantwich Town sent with Marpeth. Marpeth, again, both in the mid-table at the moment. You can't moan if you've not lost a game. It's just more, can you keep it going as long as possible? You'll be back up in the top end. Obviously, FC United have got a little bit more important matters this weekend coming up. So, again, some might be paying attention to that a little bit more during the midweek games. But Reynolds will be happy, especially with the size that he's played so far as well.
Just to finish off the results from Saturday, Grantham Town 2, Lancaster City 4. So that's a bit of an upturn from Lancaster as well, with 4 points from a possible 6, with obviously an away trip to Broadhurst Park and the South Stephen Stadium. So I'm pretty sure Matt Fell would have took that at the start of the week.
Yeah, he'd definitely be happy with that. Like I say, Marpeth's based for 2 of the last games before that as well. It's not exactly the easiest of fixture lists for him recently, and I think they've got a couple of tough games coming up.
Well, that's the league done and dusted. There is some league matches taking place, which we'll cover off in a second with Andrew Simpson. We're also going to have Neil Reynolds and Lee Pitchin joining us too. But James, a busy weekend ahead in the FA Cup 4th qualifying round. Just a quick plug for social media and the various links and that kind of thing on Saturday morning that people should be looking for.
Yeah, at Northern Premier League on Twitter, league Facebook page, league pages and football web pages. If you can't watch it or listen to it, football web pages will have everything that's happening on all 6 FA Cup games. But other than that, only one thing I can say is obviously with the Tier 3 restrictions coming in this week, please just follow the rules that are going ahead at this moment.
A big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show. But it's now time to draw a line under the past and look and gaze at the future. And joining me now, hand in hand, is a welcome return to the marvellous Mr. Andrew Simpson. Hello, Simo, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all good. We just talked about the league. We are going to talk about the FA Cup in a second, but we should talk about Saturday's matches in the league before we talk about the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup. In no particular order other than probably up at the top end first. That's probably the best, isn't it? Lancaster City against Warrington Town. Lancaster, 4 points this past week, with 2 away games, one of which was at Broadhurst Park. So it's been a decent week for Lancaster. Tough one, this one, for Warrington.
Different proposition, aren't they, Lancaster? And Mark Fell said that himself in a couple of interviews this week to say that he feels like they've turned a little bit of a corner in the confidence boost of getting that win away at Grantham. Warrington have had a little bit of a strange kind of 7 to 10 days in the... They kind of fell over the line against Radcliffe last weekend. You might have touched on that earlier in the show. Radcliffe were a bit unlucky not to get a point second half. And then Warrington needed to rescue a point themselves with a very, very late goal against Nantwich. Although I am told that Warrington's performance did merit a point. And of course, Yellows before that had lost at Mickleover the previous week. So still at the top of the table, so it's certainly no crisis or anything like that. But I do think it'd be a lot closer than maybe it would have been 2 weeks ago, this one.
We did hear from Paul Phillips earlier, and I've started to do these fixture previews as late as possible, which is quite handy. So thank you to Simo. We're doing this fixture preview at just gone 4 o'clock on Friday. The interview with Paul Phillips was yesterday afternoon. So we do talk about Scarborough, but breaking news, that match isn't happening now due to COVID and that kind of thing.
Poor old Scarborough. It's been a right up and down interrupted season, hasn't it? I had that down as one of the matches of the weekend. I don't know if you did, but I think it would have been a really good game, that one.
It would have been. So the match is off due to COVID. So at time of recording, we don't know any more than that. So just sending best wishes to both Matlock and Scarborough. So that match isn't happening. That was probably going to be game of the weekend. We might as well talk about the other game of the weekend. And that match is still on at time of recording. And it involves your very own Witton Albion. Witton Albion against Atherton Coles. We heard from both managers earlier. Going to be an interesting one, this one, because both teams have put in some good results recently.
It's settled quite nice, isn't it? I mean, not many people would have had Witton and Atherton Coles as being, you know, 4th and 7th, one of the picks of the weekend, if you'd told them that maybe 6 weeks ago. But yeah, they both go into the game in really good form. Witton have won the past 3 matches and are trying to win a 4th successive game for the first time since early 2018. I don't necessarily think that's a bad reflection on them. It's just how tough this league is and how difficult it is to kind of get on a roll. So a little landmark they're trying to reach tomorrow, but they are definitely not going to have it easy. Atherton Coles have had a really good fortnight, and the icing on the cake, wasn't it, was that hammering of Bamber Bridge in midweek when they racked up racked up 5 goals. So they come to town feeling really good. They were desperately unlucky to lose here last year as well. They lost 2-1, but played really, really well in that game when they were battling down towards the bottom of the table. So yeah, I think it's set up to be a really good game between two form teams. Looking forward to it.
We've also got Basford United. They're starting to... Steve Chettle always says he loves clean sheets, he loves good 1-0s and stuff like that. And that's what they're doing, isn't it? They're just plugging away. They're in third position. They've got an away trip to Stalybridge Celtic this weekend. At the same time, Buxton will be travelling to Bamber Bridge. Buxton currently in fifth position. Those are the teams in and around the playoffs who've got games. So this is could be an opportunity for Buxton and Basford to close some points back on Warrington, potentially, given their tricky tie at the Giant Axe.
Yeah, definitely, because they're both Buxton and Basford are both travelling to teams that are having a bit of a rough time of it at the moment. Just to touch on Basford, you're quite right. I saw them down here at Winchin Park earlier this month, and actually, I think I said on the monthly show, they looked like a team that were kind of figuring things out, deciding who was going to be the best fit where. And that work seems to have really continued throughout the month for them to put this little run together of winning the past three. Stalybridge, it's really been a miserable start to the season for them. They've not won a game yet. Lost 4 of the first 6 matches. Simon Howard said he has seen an improvement in the past couple of games, wants them to be a little bit more ruthless in front of goal, and he's mentioned as well that individual errors have kind of been their downfall, and if they were to cut them out, he does think that they can start to collect some points. But they face a very inform opponent tomorrow, so I think it'll be difficult for them to arrest that slide, certainly this weekend. Buxton, they're kind of clicking into gear quite nicely, aren't they? I had a little look earlier today, and they're already top of the scoring charts with 17 goals, which again, looking at the firepower they added to an already free scoring side, probably isn't a surprise. They did need to work pretty hard in midweek, didn't they, to get a point against Mickleover, came from behind twice, but they make this trip to Bamber Bridge, who are also having a bit of a rough time of it. They like I said earlier, they got that hammering at Abbott and Coles, didn't they? They've only picked up 1 point since beating Matlock on the opening afternoon of the season, which probably feels a long time ago now. And of course, Brigg are one of the clubs that's been affected by a 14-day shutdown, and I do wonder if that's in the mix of them struggling to kind of get some momentum. So, big game for them this weekend. They'll want to kind of stop the rot. And of course, just on the horizon is that humdinger of Buxton and Warrington on Tuesday. So, it'll be interesting to see how Buxton kind of shuffle their pack, knowing that they've got a really big game in midweek to get ready for as well.
Yeah, there's some big games on Tuesday night. We'll rattle through them in a second. Just to finish off the fixtures for Saturday, though, when it comes to the league, Mickleover taking on Grantham Town on Saturday. Mickleover, they've carried on, haven't they? They've carried on.
Very nice. Nice little surprise package. Unbeaten now in 4, and they've won 3 of those. Like I say, touch unlucky not to win at Buxton in midweek, where they twice have the lead. So they're in good form. Grantham, yeah, a little bit of a surprise to see them struggling so much. I know there's been a high turnover of players, but there's been a very high calibre of player that's gone in to play for Martin McIntosh. It was a little bit of a surprise to me that they've still not picked up a victory yet. And they've also not kept a clean sheet either. So, you know, Mickleover will be probably licking the lips at that one, I would have thought.
We've also got Radcliffe against Gainsborough Trinity. And this is an interesting one because I mentioned it earlier, Curtis Woodhouse's post-match interview from the midweek victory. He's got players there who aren't 100% who are playing through injuries and stuff. It's a tough one, this, isn't it? But then again, they did win midweek in the same situation. So
yeah, they're just striving a little bit for consistency, aren't they? They've not won back-to-back games yet, but they've still had a decent start to the season. Another team that very much remodeled over the summer. Lots of change. So overall, they have had a promising start, Gainsborough. Radcliffe, you're not quite sure what you're going to get from them, are you? They had that brilliant win at South Shields. Like I said, they were a little bit unlucky not to get a reward for a really good second half performance at Warrington last weekend. But then you look at the bigger picture, and along with Stalybridge, they've got the leakiest defence in the league. They've conceded 15 goals from 6 games. So it really is, we don't know. A lot, what will happen will depend on what Radcliffe turn up, I think. So quite a difficult one to predict, I would say, that one.
And lastly, a bit of a northeast derby, Whitby Town against Morpeth Town. Morpeth, good draw, but a feisty draw. Midweek in South Shields, a lot of bookings, wasn't there? So what do you think for this final game to talk about from Saturday?
Yeah, this is a battle of two teams that just haven't been able to get any momentum at all yet, albeit for contrasting reasons. Of course, Whitby the first team to have a managerial change this season after Chris Hardy left, and kind of the kind of joint management team are just figuring things out a little bit, aren't they? They lost, didn't they, in the derby to Scarborough in midweek, and apparently deservedly so. But that did come off the back of a more encouraging performance last weekend when they beat Grantham. Morpeth, the reason they've not gathered momentum is because they were another of the teams that's had the shutdown. They also had a little bit of progress in the FA Cup, so have not been playing Premier Division fixtures. But they'll take a lot of heart from picking up a point against South Shields in midweek. But with three draws from the four Premier Division games that they have completed, that we've not really seen them click into gear yet. But I would absolutely argue that Morpeth in 15th is a false position. They are much, much better than that. So maybe they'll see tomorrow as an opportunity to kickstart a little climb up the table.
Now, big disclaimer, everyone. We already mentioned it earlier. Matlock Town against Scarborough Athletic is postponed. Morpeth Town against Ashton United is also off due to COVID. That's at time of recording. There might be more. So do check Twitter, social media and the mpl.co.uk before setting off to your match on Saturday. Just to mention for Tuesday night's game, some big games on Tuesday night. Bamber Bridge against Gainsborough. Basford against Scarborough, brilliant. Matlock Town against Nantwich Town. Micklover against Hyde United. Radcliffe against Whitby. South Shields against FC United. So looking forward to that midweek trip. Stafford Rangers against Stafford Coles. Stalybridge against Morpeth. And as Simo mentioned before, the biggie, Warrington Town against Buxton. Boom. Superb. Yeah. It's just hopefully we get the games on because those some mouthwatering ones there, aren't they?
Definitely bring it on. I you're right about the midweek trip for FC, but it's a fixture that people have been looking out for. They'll be looking forward to it. And it'd be nice to see. I think you mentioned down there, Hyde will be getting back in action after their pause in midweek, so they'll be pleased to get back playing again. I think one of the few teams not playing in the league on Tuesday is Witten, and that's because they've got a Cheshire FA Senior Cup game against True Alex on Wednesday, so that's why they're not playing.
Oh, there you go. Looking forward to Mariners Park. Also, Weatherby Services. That's my Partridge impression. Hope you all enjoyed that at home. Right, let's talk about the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup. We've got six ties to talk about. We are going to be joined by Neil Reynolds, manager of FC United, shortly, and later Lee Picton, co-manager at South Shields. Let's start alphabetically then. Brackley Town against Marsh United. If this was at Marsh, given their home record, I'd say it was nailed on, going to be a shock upset. But there's no crowd, so
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, it does introduce a strange dynamic, and we'll touch on this in a couple of the other ties. It's a real shame that some of the teams we're going to talk about won't be able to play in front of a crowd, and Marsk are one of them. They'll still go down there feeling pretty confident, I would have thought. I mean, what a run they've had so far. One of the because of the quirk of how the competition was organised, they did have to start in the extra preliminary round. So I've actually won through five matches already just to get to this stage. They've scored 13 goals and haven't conceded one in the FA Cup yet, which is pretty remarkable and equals their best run in the competition so far. They did take a National League North scalp, of course, in the last round when they saw off Blyth Spartans, and admittedly struggling Blyth Spartans, but still that two-division gap, and they got the job done. Also, if they want a positive omen, Marine knocked Brackley out a couple of seasons ago by going down there and winning 3-2. Now, Marine were still a Premier Division team then, but it was a lower-ranked side going down to Brackley and turning them over. Brackley, like a lot of National League sides, haven't got a lot of games under their belt so far. In fact, they've not picked up a league win yet, but they've only played three games and a couple of them have been draws. So there's not a lot of form to go on in this. But yeah, I mean, they'll be full of confidence of visitors, and I think they've got a great chance, you know, of causing another upset. And what a story that would be of going from the extra preliminary round through to the first round. It'd be incredible.
Yes, absolutely. Let's talk about Marine. You just mentioned them, and you mentioned it's a shame that, you know, crowds aren't going to be there. We had Neil Young on the show last week. It is a shame, isn't it? Given his history at Chester, there's going to be no crowd there. Coming back. So, I mean, what's your take on this one, Chester v Marine?
And also, I think Marine fans would have travelled in good numbers because they rarely do in on occasions like this. So I feel gutted that they won't get the opportunity to cheer their team on. I still think they've got a real shout of getting through. You know, they've been like cup experts this season. They've actually played six games in FA competitions between the Cup and the Trophy, and they've won five of those, and then the other one, they knocked Runcorn Linnets out on penalties in the second qualifying round of the FA Cup. So they've had a brilliant time of it in Cup competitions, and they've actually been a little bit inconsistent in the league because they've been switching between competitions, although they have won their past two North West Division fixtures as well. They have not played in the first round for a quarter of a century, so what a nice story that would be if they could do it. They did reach the fourth qualifying round a couple of years ago, if you remember, and they got edged out by Salford, who were still on their rise through non-league at that time, but they only lost 2-1 that day. They did push them close. Their opponents this weekend, similar to Brackley, though they have had a better start to Brackley. They've not had a chance to rack up loads of games yet. They did knock out Spennymoor at home in the previous round. Really good performance to see them off 3-1. Chester tend to be strong at home. Of course, with the management team there, who are no strangers to cup upsets of their own, so they'll be very much on their guard of not being one to be one that kind of is victim of a surprise result. But I do give Marine a chance, you know. I think they've got a shout to get through.
Let's talk about FC United. They're taking on Guiseley. I did pronounce that right, didn't I? Guiseley?
Yeah.
Good. So, Guiseley this weekend. We'll hear from Neil Reynolds in a second. What do you make for this? Because FC United are undefeated at the moment, and they're getting credible draws against tough opposition.
Credible draws.
And winning when they need to. But what do you think?
Well, I mean, fair to say, you might correct me, but FC United's best result of the season being the FA Cup when they knocked the National League North team out, Curzon Ashton, earlier on, didn't they? Also, yeah. I know you didn't get a chance to repeat the feat against Alfreton for unfortunate reasons. So there's no reasons for FC United to feel that they can't do this. But yeah, it's been a bit of a strange one. And we've touched in the Premier Division preview about teams who are not quite got on a roll yet. And I think FC United probably come in that category. Guiseley is very little form to go on because they've not played many games either. This is, in fact, the first time this season they've even played an away game. So it's very difficult to predict what we're going to see from them. What you would add is that they have taken the scalp of two Premier Division teams already. They've seen of Atherton Colliery's and Matlock, who couldn't land really a glove on them. So they have got form this season for beating lower-ranked opposition. But like I say, they're on the road this time. What a week for FC United, by the way, because as we've touched on, they've got South Shields away midweek and then a really tricky game in the FA Trophy against Marsk next week, haven't they? So it's a big 7 days for Renault's boys. And I had a little look this morning. It's 5 years since the game against Chesterfield, since FC last reached the first round. So they're probably quite like another appearance in it, wouldn't they?
Yeah, well, I think that was the last time we had a boycott as well. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Another good old boycott, oh, FC.
Halcyon days.
But yeah, let's hear the mood now in the camp at FC United ahead of this game against Guiseley now. And on Thursday, I caught up with their manager. It's a welcome back to the show to Neil Reynolds.
I won't lie, Ben. You know, we're excited. You know, it's a real good feeling around the club, around the camp. It's a chance for my squad and the club to make a little bit of history. Since arriving at the club, I'm, you know, fully aware of what's gone on in the past and, you know, the great cup run in 2010 and I think a few years ago since we were at Chesterfield. So, you know, I want this squad to go make themselves a little bit of history. So, you know, it's a good feeling around the place.
What have you made of the starts of the campaign more generally? Because still unbeaten, we have to say. A lot of draws in there, but draws against teams you'd expect to be in and around the playoffs. So what have you made of the start?
I think someone said to me the other day, it's the first time, you know, in FC United's history that we've got to October the 20th being unbeaten. So, you know, it's fantastic. You know, we've played some really difficult teams, and you only have to look at the Lancaster game the other night. You know, they're on the back of a 4-2 win. They come, they have a game plan, and, you know, they stick to it. And, you know, at the end of the game, we didn't play particularly well, but we took a point. And then you look back on the draws, you know, Scarborough looking strong, Nantwich are looking strong, Hart's your local derby. But then we've got some wins squeezed in there as well, and, you know, it's good. You know, the confidence is really high. If someone would have said to me, you got to October the 20th, I think you'll still be unbeaten, and you're going into the FA Cup weekend in the fourth qualifying round, I don't think anyone would have believed me, you know, to be honest. But here we are. We can get a break from the league action. I'm so proud of the players. You know, we have a really small squad. And, you know, the players have adapted themselves really well. They've kept on top of the fitness. Even when lads have had to come out, you know, lads have stepped in there. And they're a great bunch to work with. And I'd like nothing more for this group to go and make a little bit of history for themselves.
You mentioned that the history of FC United and the FA Cup. Obviously, you mentioned, you could talk about, you know, 10 years ago. We could talk about, you know, getting through to the first round and playing Chesterfield. How important is the FA Cup to what you're trying to achieve at the club?
I mean, it's massive. You know, as a player, you know, I got there years and years ago and we got to the second round and played Cambridge and we got beat there to a Trevor Benjamin penalty away. But, you know, as a manager, you know, never got there. But it's just the thought of it now. You know, we've got a monumental task to overcome, a really strong Guiseley squad. But, you know, we've given ourselves a chance. We've got a home tie. We're 90 minutes away. You know, we'll be 90 minutes plus penalties maybe. But it does. There's no better feeling, you know. And every manager up and down the country, not league level, wants to get to the first round proper. And you know that's what I want. But I'm desperate for the club. The club's come a long way in the last couple of years, and deserves a lot of success. And there's a lot of hard work that goes on behind the scenes to give us the platform that we're on now. The lads deserve it because they've really stuck to the task, and you know they've come a long way as well as a relatively new group. And it'd just be nice, you know, for a non-league team at our level to get to that first round and maybe get a flum draw. But like you said, we've got a big task to overcome yet, and it will mean nothing come quarter to five if we don't progress to the first round proper.
And at quarter to five, you, whatever the result, your brain will suddenly turn, I'd imagine, to league matters. And we've got Lee Pictor coming on shortly for South Shields. That's looming large, isn't it? That game there, and it was a great occasion last year. So what's your expectations for Tuesday night up at South Shields?
I mean, that's one game that'll stay in the memory forever. You know, the crowd on the day, the travelling fans, kind of the last game, before COVID really kicks in. An end-to-end game that, you know, South Shields thoroughly deserved to win in the first half. And then, you know, that special magic man Sunday scored an hat-trick and, you know, we're back in it. And it was just a really good spectacle for non-league football, really good occasion. But people look at South Shields and think, you know, they haven't started particularly well. You know, I went to watch them at Bamber Bridge the other week and I was really impressed. I think Lee Picton and Graham Fenton have got an outstanding squad. They've been a little bit unlucky with injuries. They're a well-drilled team that, you know, they're up there for a reason. And, you know, mark my words, come towards the end of the season, they're going to be thereabouts. And I think they are the team that everyone needs to beat if you want to be, you know, number one position. But just because they haven't started as particularly well as what they wanted to do, don't ever anyone read into that. They're a squad littered full of quality, and we'd have to be at our very best. But, you know, as you've seen with Tuesday night, then against Lancaster, a small squad, tired legs, you know, played really well against Stafford. We didn't play so well against Lancaster, and I do put it down to fatigue. And Saturday's going to take so much out of us if we want to progress. And then 48 hours later, or 72 hours later, you're jumping on the coach and heading to the northeast for another mouth-watering tie. So, listen, it's the games you want to be involved in. You know, football's back. I'm never going to complain. And, you know, we're really fortunate to, you know, to have a game. And the games that we've got, you know, guys in the FA Cup, South Shields in the league, as a player, as a manager, you can't want anything more than that.
No, absolutely. And just before you go, Neil, just a quick comment as well with off the pitch matters, if I could pick your brain for a second. Speaking of South Shields yourselves, South Shields and Scarborough have written again, trying to get some movement out of government and the FA. Is it getting to the stage now where it's becoming a bit of a problem, this, isn't it? This losing out on over 1,000 people paying through the gate.
I need to be a fly on the wall, Ben, because I cannot... I will not be able to get my head around this. I mean, if you're sat around that table in London discussing the lack of money or the losses that clubs are making in the National League, and then you can just toss away to one side Scarborough FC United, South Shields, whose fan base is well over 1,000. Some people need their heads banging together, you know, and I cannot believe it. And I'm in shock, and I've read the letter that's gone in there. And I keep praying for common sense, but I really, really am losing faith in the common sense of the people that sit around the table. Because, you know, for anybody, great for the National League clubs that have got, and they haven't all got what they deserved. You know, I looked at Chester, I don't think they've got what they deserved, you know, last night. But not even a mention of if you will, the three top supporting clubs that sit outside that. And you're not telling me that South Shields, Scarborough and FC United haven't been spoken about, you know. And I just encourage people to pretty wise up quickly and get a little bit of common sense and have that general discussion. Clubs at our level, with our fan base, cannot survive without the financial support. And it, you know, we're being instructed to follow the COVID guidelines, and we are doing, but we're also trying to run a business and a football club and trying to keep our head above the parapet, and we need support. And if they can't see that, then unfortunately, you know, they're going to lose a lot of good footballing teams along the way. But what a sad affair, really. That's not recognised, and for me, it loses. You know, I've just lost so much faith in the people that sit above and sit around that table. But like I said, I'd love to be a fly on the wall to see what has been discussed or how it's been discussed.
Well, it is hoping it gets sorted, that's for sure. But just before you go, Neil, just one closing thought, really. I mean, one game away from the first round proper. How much are you looking forward to Saturday?
You know, I'll be honest with you, Ben. You've just said that. My spine's tingle. You know, I'm going into training now. You know, the lads can't wait, we can't wait. You know, I'm sure that, you know, the 600 fans that come into Broadhurst Park on Saturday will make the noise that they do, and, you know, we'll put Tuesday night behind us. I can tell people that we're 90 minutes away from the first round proper. What I don't want to do is go and tell people on Monday morning that dream hasn't become reality. And, you know, I'm a big believer in dreaming big. You know, I've done it in my clubs where I've been at the past, and dreams have become reality. And, you know, this is no different for me. You know, and as a manager of a prestigious club of FC United, I'm desperate for the club and my squad and my management team to be able to do it. And who knows, you know, you should never look too far ahead, but, you know, Monday night straw, you can't help but not think about a Sunderland or an Ipswich, or you just never know, do you? You know, you never know. And I just encourage everyone to dream and just get behind the boys. And, you know, we'll be doing everything we can do to progress. But, you know, credit who we're playing against. They're a really tough opposition. And, you know, we're going to have to be at our very, very, very best. But there's no reason why we can't do it.
Neil Reynolds there, manager of FC United, ahead of that game with Guiseley in the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup. Just before we move on to the other games, sticking with non-league football in Manchester, we should mention the sad news this afternoon that's breaking about Gary Lowe, and we're just sending our best wishes to everyone who knows him and everyone at Hyde United, yeah, and Curzon, basically.
Yeah, I echo that completely. And I've already started to read some like really beautiful tributes online. One of my very own Berkey's lovely words and memories of his time working with Gary Lowe. Well worth a look at what Berkey said. Not a guy that I knew, but certainly know you guys, a lot of the guys on the show knew him well. And it's just lovely to read kind of the memories and the impact that he had on people's lives. To know he's not been involved in non-league football for a little while now, but still someone who's held in such high regard at clubs that he worked at.
Yes, absolutely. Well, let's go back to the FA Cup and the fourth qualifying round. And we heard from Martin Carruthers last week about Ilkeston, and they had a hell of a draw, haven't they, for the fourth qualifying round. Hartlepool United coming to Ilkeston as well. What do you think here? Is there a chance of an almighty upset?
There is a chance. I mean, they will benefit from having supporters in the ground, which is great. And obviously, they're going to be on TV as well with the profile that comes with that. Playing at home gives Ilkeston obviously the best chance, I think, of getting through. Although they didn't have the greatest preparation because they got tonked 4-1 at Newcastle Town in midweek. But generally, their form's been really good because they'd won 5 successive games in all competitions this month before that. They were another team that's to work very hard. They've come through 4 stages just to get this far. I've only conceded 1 goal in the FA Cup, so another team that's been pretty tight defensively. 3 of the times they've got through, they've been in front of their own supporters, so good FA Cup record at home this season. I think a lot of this depends on Hartlepool's approach, to be honest. I mean, obviously, they've had a really good start in the National League, are unbeaten so far, won 3 of the 4 games. Although, intriguingly, Dave Challoner has said in some quotes that I've seen about this game that he is thinking about making changes and perhaps giving an opportunity to players that haven't been on the field very much so far in those league games. So I just wonder if that's a bit of a dangerous game. Obviously, he's still going to back his team. I think 3 levels higher, he should back whoever's in his squad. But I just wonder if that does give Ilkeston a glimmer of hope that it won't be necessarily the cohesive Hartlepool that's been playing in the league. Look, it would still be a huge upset, but it's not impossible. It's really not.
What about this one? We'll come to South Shields against Halifax in a second. But Stafford Rangers against Skelmersdale United. It was the best draw that Jody Banham's side could get home to one of the lowest ranked teams still left in the competition. But you just got that little thing in the back of your mind, haven't you, about this one? It's a big banana skin for Stafford.
Without any question, I mean, look, you know, when I used to do this in my previous job, you'd always say to a manager, who do you want in the next round? Thinking you're not going to get an interesting answer, and you rarely did, but they would always say, oh, anybody at home, preferably someone who's lower ranked. So you're right, they've got the plum draw, and I think Skem, in fact, are the lowest ranked team left in the competition. But there should be huge caution for Stafford. Don't forget, Skem knocked out Lancaster in the previous round. So they've already taken the scalp of a Premier Division team. I mean, this is another of the matches that I thought about. This is because of the kind of local COVID restrictions that Skem aren't able to, their supporters aren't able to travel and watch this game and cheer their team on, which is just absolutely gutting. Because they're trying to get to the first round for the first time in almost half a century. It's a massive occasion for Skem, and to not have their supporters there is a real, real shame. As for the on the field, they'll just be feeling really confident. I mean, Stafford, sadly, in the league at least, have picked up where they left off, and they still find themselves anchored to the bottom of the table, 1 point to their name. It's been a pretty difficult, challenging start for Jody down there. Except when they've switched to the FA Cup, excellent things have happened. I mean, what a win in the last round against Hereford, 1-3-1. They'd also knocked out Buxton, and it, even though they're in the same division, would have been massive underdogs to go to Buxton. In fact, that was a game that Buxton failed to score in, and I was just praising them earlier for being the leading scorers in the Premier Division. And all right, yes, it went to penalties, but Stafford got the job done. And even in their first FA Cup tie, playing against Worcester was, again, a real tricky tie, and they managed to negotiate that. So playing in the FA Cup has been a bit of a release for Stafford, so maybe that's the best way for them to approach it. But of these games we're talking about, where there might be upsets, and it wouldn't shock me if Skem pull it off. It really wouldn't.
Well, a big good luck to Stafford Rangers. On this show, we hope you win. and we hope Skelmersdale United come back to the MPL at some point as well.
Old friends, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right, finally then, South Shields against Halifax Town. We'll get your thoughts in a second, Simo, but let's judge the mood in the camp now at Mariners Park. And on Friday afternoon, I caught up with the joint manager at the club. It's a welcome back to the show to Lee Picton.
No, we're thoroughly looking forward to it, Ben. It's a huge opportunity for us as a football club. It's been a long, long time. I think something like touching 60 years since the football club has potentially got to the first round proper of the FA Cup. So we're hoping to make a little bit of history tomorrow. We know it's going to be a really, really tough test for us, but the group are in good spirits. We've obviously had some indifferent results recently in the league, which, you know, our performances have probably been better than our results. We just need to find a bit more of a scoring touch and a bit more of a ruthless touch in the final third. That's fair to say, but we're thoroughly looking forward to the challenge tomorrow.
I was going to say, I mean, your previous encounter was a league game against Morpeth, and apart from the bookings, which was many, there was a lot of shots as well. So is it just a case of just hitting the back of the net at some point, and then there might be an avalanche?
I think we just need one going off somebody's backside or something. At the moment, we're really, we've obviously hit the woodwork a couple of times, and just been really, really, a combination, to be fair, of a little bit of bad luck, but also just lacking that tiny, tiny little bit of confidence and real cutting-edge quality in the final third. I think, we get a few statistics done on our games, and I think we've had something like 100 final third entries in the last two games, but we've not scored a goal. And, so that shows you where our main focus has been in over the last few days, and hopefully we can put things right tomorrow.
One question I need to ask, and it's something we heard from Neil Reynolds a second or two ago, and it was about this joint letter that's gone in with yourselves, FC and Scarborough.
Yeah.
And I think there's a new letter that's had to have gone in as well, because there was not much of a response from government, sadly. How much is the, the reduction of crowds affecting your team at the moment as well? Or is that not really playing a part, do you think?
I think it's affecting the whole club. I think, I'm certainly not one to come up with excuses, but, when you're used to having nigh on 2,000 people in the ground for a home game, and you know it yourself at FC United, and then to have that restricted to 300 does make a difference. The crowd undoubtedly gives you that extra energy you need when games are tight, and getting towards the latter stages and the games are in the balance, then we've often found that the crowd gives us that extra impetus and energy that helps us get over the line. Look, on the flip side of the coin, there's many areas for improvement still with us, and we know that we haven't been good enough in certain departments, and regardless of whether there's a crowd there or not, that would still be the case. So, but yeah, in terms of the whole club, from a whole club perspective, it has real material effect on people's jobs, the people's mood around the place, the fans. We feel so much because we know how passionate the fans are about coming to the games and the atmosphere that they create for us. So, Yeah, it's a difficult time, but it's a difficult time for everybody.
Yes, because obviously FC United, South Shields and Scarborough, they've got the problem with attendances, plus the social club aspect, but there's all the clubs in this league pretty much have the same problem with regards to the social club side of things. So, I mean, just a final point on this, really, because it is quite striking that the statement that's gone in, over 1,000 people missing for FC and South Shields especially, that in itself is over 30 clubs' average attendances in the divisions above. So, I mean, it's a big gap then. And what's your take on the response that you've had so far from government with regards to this problem?
Well, of course, we're going to be disappointed because we haven't, as you've already alluded to, we haven't had a response, full stop, which is, you know, which is very, very disappointing. You know, we're currently against a side in Halifax tomorrow who, you know, as part of the National League have had, you know, financial support from the government. We have got comparable crowds to those type of clubs. Therefore, you set your cost base at the club based on what your projected revenues are, because that's what we're being used to. And we feel we've kind of been left in the lurch, and it leaves a big black hole financially to try and solve. And it's not an easy situation, but we have to just try and get through it and get through what's undoubtedly the toughest time for the football club in recent history, and hopefully we come out of it the other end, which I'm sure we'll do, and be stronger for it.
Well, here's hoping we get a response soon. But just a closing thought, really, because obviously it's about on the pitch matters for yourself this weekend. Yeah. The games in previous rounds, they've been close affairs, but really good results against Southport and Warrington. So, what's your hopes for tomorrow's match against Halifax? Repeating the same trick, hopefully.
Yeah, of course. Well, look, our players are going as much as we. We fully believe in our squad. We know we're going to have to play well tomorrow. You know, Halifax are where they're at for a reason, a very good reason. That's because they're a good side. They're physical, they're athletic. And if the game turns into our type of game, then we've got a chance. If we allow the game to turn into the kind of game that Halifax would want, then we're going to be right up against it. So it's going to be a really intriguing affair, and may the best team win tomorrow.
Lee Picton there, joint manager at South Shields, joining us here on the Pitching In NPL show. Simo, South Shields against Halifax. It'll be 0-0 and South Shields will win on penalties. It's nailed on.
Oh, you've stolen me line. You've stole it. How could you do that to me? But I don't think I ever would normally predict a penalty shootout. But, you know, South Shields have got through twice through that method so far. But there's another reason to kind of predict that. If you look at how Halifax have fared in the National League so far, 3 draws in 5 games, and they've only scored 4 goals. So they're tight defensively and struggling to kind of hit the target as well. I mean, the other thing in the mix, it's been a very strange start to the season for South Shields, haven't it? I mean, not many of us would have predicted that they would find themselves down in 11th place already, 7 points adrift of Warrington at the top of the table. Can they close that gap? Yes, of course they can, but there's been some real frailty at South Shields. They've already lost 2 games at home, both unexpectedly against Radcliffe and Matlock. Great win for Matlock, by the way, but still an unexpected defeat for South Shields. So you're not quite sure what you're going to get from them at the moment. And they've done really well in the FA Cup in the past few years and had some big victories during their climb through the pyramids. It's a competition they've got good memories in. Last time they met a National League side was 3 years ago when they played Hartlepool, who we've already mentioned on today's show, and they just missed out then on reaching the first round. You'd be mad to think to bet against South Shields because they've just got so much class in their team. So I wouldn't rule them out completely, but I'm not as confident as I have been maybe in previous seasons of predicting that they'll beat a higher ranked team.
Well, that's our fixture preview for the fourth qualifying round of the FA Cup. Just to say, on next week's show, we'll be discussing all 6 sides still remaining in the FA Cup, the first round proper. And the draw, I think, takes place on Monday, doesn't it? And it'll be on the BBC. Yeah. It's really big time. So we're nearly there, everyone. So it's very, very exciting.
Let's be confident. I think we'll have a couple of teams that get through. I'm feeling good. It might be the surprise ones, you know. I'm thinking of you, Marine, and maybe you, Mask. But I think we'll be represented. Let's put it that way.
Good stuff. Just to say, big disclaimer, check your club Twitter feed, also about regulations and that kind of thing, because all that changes tonight for a lot of people, doesn't it? So do check Twitter and that kind of thing before setting off, and also just to make sure the match is on. www.thempl.co.uk, of course. Simo, where are you off to this weekend?
So I'm at Witten Advent Coles tomorrow.
Brilliant. And match report in the non-league paper?
Sure will be, yeah, definitely. Games keep dropping, I might have the whole page to myself.
You never know. And as well as the non-league paper, also follow your musings on Twitter too.
Yeah, at @Simo_on_sport, and there'll be ramblings before, during and after the game tomorrow.
Great stuff. Well, Simo, a big thank you for joining us. You have a lovely and safe weekend, and we'll be catching up soon. And a big thank you to Andrew Simpson for joining us on this week's show. And that's it for this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. A big, big good luck to all our sides in FA Cup for qualifying round action on Saturday. Remember, for all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. A big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. But I've been Ben, and you make sure that you all have a lovely and safe weekend. And you'll be hearing from us again next week. Bye-bye.